I'm going with Charlie Ware to talk to evangelist Tom Williams when he was a staff evangelist at Baptist Bible College, and we had some good talks and learned some things by meeting with Tom in a personal way. And one of the things that he said was that God is able to treat us as though we're an only child. God is able to treat us as though we were an only child. And, you know, there are some things in my life that I look at. I look at the young Randy Bloom, and one of the things I see with the young Randy Bloom was a desire to walk close to God in my personal life. And there were times in my life when I got away from that, and I regret those times, because as I go on, I realize that there's nothing more important for your life or my life than what I'm preaching on tonight. And what I'm preaching on tonight, my text is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, very familiar text, but what I'm preaching on tonight is, can you personally know God's will? Can you personally know God's will? Let me read, first of all, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and you follow. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, God makes a promise here, and he's saying that if you are doing what it says here, trusting in the Lord with all your heart, and if you are not leaning to your own understanding, what you think is the right way, that then you can know for sure, well, let's also say, in all of your ways, not just sometimes, but all of your ways, all of your decisions, all of your ways, acknowledging him, you can claim this promise, and you can say, I know he is directing my path. I know God Almighty is directing my paths. And so, can you personally say that? Do you personally know God's will for your life? And there are promises in the Word of God that says that God is that personal, that God is that real, that it's that exciting to have that kind of personal relationship to God. And, you know, Allah, the God of Islam, they don't have that. But we have a personal God. And when he showed up on earth, our God showed up as a man. And he promises that you can personally know God's will for your life. And what an exciting thing that is for your life. And I want you to notice some verses that also promise that God will show you his will. God will guide you in a personal way. Young person, middle-aged, adult, older person. Here's what it says in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. It says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose water fail not. You know why a lot of people are fat? Because they're not satisfied with the Lord. So they're eating too much food to get satisfied. You know why people get drunk? Because they're not satisfied by the Lord. So they're drinking themselves drunk to have some kind of satisfaction. You know why people aren't satisfied with the Lord and having that satisfaction that comes from him? So what are they doing? They're getting involved in fornication to try to get that satisfaction because they're not satisfied with their own wife or husband and what God has given them. Why? Because, listen to me, the Bible says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. Listen, if you're not guided continually by the Lord, if going to church is just being here on Sunday night, hearing me preach on Sunday morning, you're going to get bored with this thing. You're going to walk out on this kind of stuff. You're not going to really get involved in it. And I feel sorry for you because it's much more than that to me. I'd be bored with this too. Sometimes people think, boy, it'd be great to be a pastor. I'd like to be in that position. Oh, fooey on you. It's not great. None of this stuff is great in this world without a personal God that's guiding you. And you're doing the will of God for your life. If you're not doing the will of God for your life in a personal way, you are in a sad place. Got another scripture on guidance. Not only Isaiah 58:11, but look with me at Psalm 32 and verse 8, which says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. You know, I remember seeing that and it came off the page and I thought, what a wonderful verse that is. God is promising you, I will guide you with mine eye. Now, have you ever had anybody guide you with their eye? You ever had a mother look at you when you were a kid and go, or a father? And that tells you with the eye, when we get home, we're going to have some trouble, you know. I remember Brother Eric said when he was a teenager, he was always doing something maybe I didn't like, or not always, but sometime, like teenagers will do. And I did something, I don't know what it was, I think I went like that, or kind of shook my head and looked at him like, in other words, that shut him right up. Boy, I didn't have to do anything else. Just And what God is saying here is that I will give you personal guidance in your life from my own expression, and you'll be able to see the expression on my face. And when I'm frowning at you and you're not doing the right thing, and you'll stop right there, God's frowning on me. You see, he said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I remember when God gave me that promise as a young man, just getting ready to go into preaching and all of that. And I am so thankful for that promise that God Almighty gave me. But are you benefiting from that? Do you live your life that way by getting personal guidance from the Lord? And are you doing the will of God for your life? God also warns you in that same chapter, that same Psalm 32, verse 9, he says this after he promises to guide you with the eye. He says, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto you. In other words, God is saying, just like a horse or mule, in order to guide them, it's not with the eye. If they're a stubborn horse or a mule, you got to jerk them around. You got to pull on their bit that's in their mouth, and they feel the pain of that bit cutting into their mouth, and it makes them go the way they're supposed to go. And some people, it's like that, that are believers. We do have understanding. We have spiritual understanding. The Bible says that these things that we know about, they are spiritually discerned. But if you are not walking in the Spirit, then you are hard-hearted, hard-headed, horse-head, I call it. And you have to be pulled around with a bit and bridle, and maybe the preacher has to rebuke you, or some other Christian has to rebuke you, or whatever, and you really have to be slammed up alongside the head, so to speak, like the guy that before he even got on his mule, he just took out a 2x4 and hit the mule right over the head. The guy said, why'd you do that? You just came up to the mule. He said, well, I have to get his attention first, and then I can ride him. And, you know, some believers are like that. And God has to get your attention. He has to slam you up alongside the head. And that might be all right once in a while, but that shouldn't be the regular daily course that you get slammed up alongside the head. And so God warns us not to be a hard-hearted horse head. And also in Ephesians chapter 2:10, so we got Psalm 32, 8 and 9, and Isaiah 58:11, and then Ephesians 2:10 said, for we are his workmanship, created in created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Do you know God has specific things that he wants you to do? But a lot of you may be missing those things. Why? Because you're not doing the will of God on a regular basis. And God says you need to get into my will and do my will. I love the psalm, Psalm 37. How many love Psalm 37? Great psalm. I'm going to quote to you verse 3, which says there that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way. Are you so personal with God that your very steps are being ordered of the Lord? That is, the Lord is saying, go here, and you're going there. And then when you do that, what does it say? God delights in where you're going, and God delights in what you're doing. But if you're not doing the will of God, does God delight in it? No, he doesn't delight in it, because you're doing your will. You say, I'm doing a lot of good stuff. I'm going here and there, and I'm doing this and that. I don't give a flip about that, and neither does God. He's not impressed with that. Bible says he's not impressed with the legs of a man. He's not impressed with what you give him. He says, I want you to do what I am telling you. And you need to take the steps that I order you to take each and every day. God orders our steps. He orders our words. He orders our works. He orders our giving, as we heard testimony tonight, each and every day. Now, let me tell you the master's plan, not the master Jesus, but the devil. The devil's master plan. What is the devil's master plan for you as a believer? He wants you to do the very best you can do and hope God will bless your efforts with his aid and help. In other words, God's got a different way, but the devil's plan is you just kind of plan out what you want to do and what you think is best to do, and then you say, God, help me. Help me to do it. Bless me, Lord, in doing it. That's not God's plan. That is the devil's plan. No, God is not interested in that kind of partnership. Rather, God is saying, I want to direct your steps. I want to order your steps. A lot of Christians, I don't believe, are making it. We're missing the mark. Colossians, I looked up this verse today, chapter 1 and verse 9, says that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I'm preaching to you tonight on, can you personally know God's will? And I'm saying, by way of introduction, a resounding yes, you can know God's will personally. You can know it personally. Parents, are you teaching your children that? You teach them, do what I say. What would they get away from you? Can they walk with God themselves? Can they have a relationship with God themselves? Are you teaching them that? It's fine to teach them obedience to you as a parent. That's a good thing. But are you teaching them how to do the will of God for your life? And I fear that far too few Christians are doing what it says in Colossians 1:9, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Not just knowledge, but wisdom. How to use that knowledge to do specifically what God wants you to do in these different situations. And we lack that. Now, I remember years ago as a young man, I went to New York City a number of times from Baptist Bible College. And back in the day when I went there, early 70s, there was a pastor who was from England. And this pastor came to America, and he started a Baptist church in New York City on Manhattan Island there. And it was the greatest Baptist church with the greatest impact you can imagine. I was impressed with this guy because when I was at Baptist Bible, somebody had a tape of one of his sermons on dating and marriage, and he was preaching, and he had the kind of that British accent. Boy, it was awesome. I really liked that. His name is Pastor Stephen Alford. And he pastored the great Calvary Baptist Church there in Manhattan, New York City. And Alford said this about what I'm talking to you about. He said, God's great plan is for you to find, follow, and finish God's will for your life. God's great plan is for you to find, to follow, and to finish God's will for your life. There's nothing more important than that. There's nothing more successful than that. And God has a will for your life that's not for your mom, not for your dad, not for your brother, not for your sister, not for your wife, not for this, not for that. It's for you. And the greatest success you can ever attain to in life is to find, to follow, and to finish God's will for your life. Now, I have been in that, but I've gotten away from it on a day-by-day basis. I'm talking about not the big thing, not the overall plan. You know, I know the overall, but I'm talking about day-by-day fitting in with that, doing that. And I believe that's where folks in Bible-believing churches are missing out there. And let me just say, your greatest success, therefore, is to do the will of God one day at a time. One day at a time. And you don't have to worry, you know, what people think about you. And, you know, you don't have to worry about what the fundamentalist crowd thinks about you or the evangelical crowd or whatever. You just got to put a smile on the face that was beaten for you and spit upon for you and bloody for you. You just got to put a smile on his face. And I believe I'm doing that today. I believe I'm doing that tonight. I believe I did that this morning. Amen? I believe I've done that today. But now I just got to do that every day. Robert Thomas Ketchum, one of a great preacher that I heard preach, and he actually went to my wife's church in Florida and spent time in their home and had dinner in their home. A great man of God that was involved in the regular Baptist movement back in the day. He said, Robert Ketchum said, you can know the will of God for your life if you want to do it because you love it. Let me say that again. You can know the will of God for your life if you want to do it because you love it. And that's often the problem, isn't it? We don't set our affection on things above. And we get enthralled with things of this world. And, you know, I was telling somebody about this. You go through a good time. You know, you're going to Disney World. Anna, you're going to Disney World. And you get all excited about it. But what does the Bible say about going to Disney World? It came to pass. Or you're going to your Aunt KK's and going to see the little cousins. Oh, that's exciting, but it comes to pass. Now it's over. And I don't like that. I'll be honest with you. I'm looking forward to having fun. I'm looking forward to having a good time. And I come up to it, and boom, it's over. It came to pass. But how about when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death? How about you going through a hard time? How about you going through a miserable time? You know, people in hell, I'm sure they'd like it to come to pass, but it's not going to pass. It's there. But for us, the hard times, it comes to pass. There's light at the end of the tunnel of the valley of the shadow of death. And in that valley, it's a shadow. It's not death if you're saved. Thank God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so we can go through that and come out on the other side. But listen, if you get too caught up in the things around you, the good times or the bad times, you're worldly. Let me say that again. If you get too caught up with the things around you, either get distracted and so down in the mouth about the bad times, or you get all excited about the good times and make too much of that. You're worldly. You know what you should get excited about? Doing the will of God. I can do that every day. Oh, that's the exciting thing. So you can know the will of God if you want to do that, because that's what you love more than all these other things. Jesus said to Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these?" You see, that's what we got to focus on. God is saying in this scripture that we quoted, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. People say, "Pastor, I try to seek God for the major things in my life," and you should. But it doesn't say just that. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So God is saying tonight, I want you day by day, like the song, day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my... He wants you day by day and moment by moment to be in the middle of his will for your life. And do you know what the number one question for many Christian counselors is? What's the will of God for my life? How can I know the will of God for my life? That's what I'm preaching on. And I know I kind of say it as a cliche. Well, I have a copy of it right here, but it's not just so simple as that. I want to preach on that tonight. I want to say two things about it. Two points I want to say about, can you personally know God's will? Two points. I won't be too long. Number one says, firstly, let me say, if you want the will of God, you've got to let God choose the way. Let me say that again. There's only two points. Firstly, let me say, if you want the will of God, you've got to let God choose the way. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now you might say, but Pastor, what if God wants me to do something or go somewhere, and I just don't want to go there? Or I just don't want to do that. Or what if God wants me to give something by way of an offering, and I just don't feel like I want to give it? You know, we say that as kind of a joke, but many people think of God's will that way. You know, here's the mentality. God, you show me what you want me to do or say or give, and I'll decide whether I want to do it. Right? I'll decide. Well, that puts you in the driver's seat. What does it say in the book of Judges? Every man did that which was what? Right in his own eyes. I did it my way. How about doing it God's way? That is so important. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and then he'll be the director of your life. But let's be honest. How many of you can say you've made some stupid mistakes in your life? Amen. How many of you are thrilled that everybody in the church doesn't know about your stupid mistakes? Amen. I'm thinking of a preacher, a very well-known preacher. I heard this story about him. How many have heard of the fat boy, David Gibbs? How many heard of him? He's a great preacher. You know, he's God used him in my life. And I remember he told a story about a stupid thing that he did. He was at some kind of conference, and the pastor of the church said there was a lady, and she was on the mission field, and this lady had particular medical needs, and they needed to raise money for her. And so he was trying to stir up people to get their hearts to be moved to give. And David Gibb was there for the week for the conference, you know, David Gibbs. And the preacher had a burden, the pastor, for people to give. Now, David Gibbs, when he heard that, he looked in his wallet, you know, like you would do, to see what he had. Now, sometimes I've got in my pocket a checkbook, and that helps because I don't always have the cash in my wallet, but I have a checkbook. Now, I don't have it tonight, but anyway, he looked in his wallet, and he was there for the week, and he had a $100 bill. And as he was thinking about it, it was like the Lord was prompting him to give that $100 bill. But he said to the Lord, Lord, that's all the money I have for the week, so that's not a good idea. It's not a good idea I give that $100. That's all the money I got for the week, and I'm stuck here, you know. And so he came up with another idea. And his idea was when the collection plate would be passed for this free will offering, he was going to put in the $100 bill real quick and take out change. And so that was his idea. No sooner did he get that thought in his head and was making plans to do that, but the pastor goes, okay, I have a bucket right up here, and I want you to come up here and just put the money in the bucket. And he's like, oh, I don't know if I can do that and get the change. That's not going to work. That idea is just not going to fly. And so he vetoed that idea. But now he's got to come up with an idea, and God is prompting him to just give the $100. But he said, well, I got another idea, Lord. What I'll do, I'll go up there and I'll take the $100 and kind of put it in there and pocket it. And then later on, I'll get change and give the money somehow. Now, if that isn't a stupid idea, right? I'm going to fake it till I make it. You know, I mean, we come up with these ideas to help God out, as if God needs any help. And so he walked up to the bucket and pretended to put it in. But then he thought about that, and he thought about how sinful that was, how hypocritical that was. And he was like going to preach. He was the next speaker to preach at this conference because David Gibb is a preacher. He's asked to preach. And he said it was like the Lord said to him, now, you're not depending on me, David, to give this money. Now, are you going to ask me to help you when it's time to preach? And he's like, yes, Lord, that's my plan. I'm going to do that. Yeah, I'm going to need your help. And then he realized that that is very sinful and very hypocritical, and he acknowledged in front of everybody that that was a stupid thing that he was going to do, and he repented and put that $100 in there. Boom, that's it. Not only that, later on he called his wife and told her about the need, and he said, I want to write a check for $1,000 in addition to give to her medical expenses. You see, if you want to know the will of God, you have to let God choose what to do, not you're going to decide how to modify it, how to take a vote on it and decide what you're going to do. You know, in John chapter 7, Jesus put it this way. He said, if any man is willing to do his will, speaking of God's will, he shall know the doctrine or the Bible teaching that's of God. I believe a lot of people don't know the Bible like they should because they're just not willing to do God's will. They're just trying to learn a bunch of facts, and they're not willing to do. And that's why it says that teachers, first of all, should do and then teach. You can't really be a teacher unless you're willing to do. I've shared many times in the book of Jeremiah, after the captivity, when the temple was broken down and the walls were destroyed and the people were taken captive, Jeremiah was left in the land, and some of the men were still left in the land. And they came to Jeremiah, the preacher, and they said, you know, would you pray to God and ask God what His will for us is? We just want to know His will now. We've gone through so much. And Jeremiah said, I'll do it. But you better be willing to do it. And Jeremiah prayed, and the word of the Lord came to him. He said, tell these guys not to go to Egypt. He said, they're thinking about going to Egypt for help. And if they go to Egypt, I'll send the king of Babylon down there, and they'll be killed. And Jeremiah said, God said, you stay right here in the land. You don't go to Egypt. And they said, well, we don't like that. You see, they decided, no, we're going to go to Egypt. And guess what? They were all killed down in Egypt by Nebuchadnezzar, sorry. See, I'm just saying, if you want to know the will of God, you've got to want it, because it's God's will. And I'm not going to take a vote now after you show me. That's why it says in James chapter 1 that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You asked for God to show you His will, and then you don't do it. Well, He's not even going to show you His will. You know why? Because He knows what's in your heart. Now, there's another verse. I want to have you put this verse down in your heart or write it down somewhere. Jeremiah 10, 23 and 24. That's Jeremiah 10, 23 and 24. Amen, Kyle. You got it right up there. Look at that. It's written right up there. You can write this reference down. O Lord, I know the way of man. It is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Boy, isn't that a great statement in Jeremiah, the prophet, the one I just talked to you about? Now, you may think, well, it's in me. I can pretty much decide. I'm an adult, you know. I can do what I think is right. I can do what I want to do. I pretty much, no, you're not going to get directed by God. You're not going to know the will of God for your life with that mentality. It says, I'll quote it again, O Lord, I know the way of man. It is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Boy, I am so glad that God puts me in a position to depend upon him. And I want to know that this message, for instance, that this is what God wants me to preach tonight. You think I've done these things tonight? Yes, I have. And the one this morning as well. See, that's all I'm required to do. I'm not required to show what a great homiletician I am, what a great preacher I am. Oh, fooey on that. I'm required to do the will of God. And we got too few men that have that heart, I'm afraid, to be humble servants of God. When you were small, you were something, but you got too big now for your britches. And that's not good. That's why I keep coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, where you lead me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. Yeah. And that's what he wants. The young Randy Bloom, that was the soft heart that I had. But as you get older and harder, you got to watch out for that heart that's prideful and stiff-necked. And, you know, it says, lean not to your own understanding. You know what? You have learned to lean on Jesus 100% to get you to heaven. Amen. How many of you trusted Jesus to get you to heaven? You lean upon him 100%. Yeah. Now, we do that when it comes to our salvation. But are you leaning upon him in the same way for him to show you his will last week, yesterday, today? You know what? I believe sometime we aren't letting him choose which way we should go because we're doubting whether he's really good. We're doubting whether he's really got our best interest at heart. We think we know more than him, maybe, of what is best for us. Really? Read Romans chapter 1 through Romans 11, and you can see that no, God knows best, and he's given, and the only wise choice now for you is to just be a living sacrifice, right? Just be a living sacrifice. I heard in communist Russia about this preacher, and he loved Jesus so much, and they could not get him to deny Jesus. They beat him. They tortured him. They did terrible things to him, and they could not get him to deny Jesus. And so they said, well, he loves Jesus more than himself, but how about his children? And they brought in his daughters, and they said, if you don't deny Jesus, we're going to poke your daughter's ears until she can't hear. And he was like, oh my, I can't take this. And his daughter said, Dad, do not deny Jesus. And they did. They poked her ears, her hearing out. Then they went to the other daughter. They said, we deafened this one. We're going to cut this one's tongue in half. And he said, I can't take this. They said, don't deny Jesus, Dad. And they did it. Later on, they were freed from that communist oppression. That preacher was with those daughters, and they were such a testimony wherever they went of how they trusted God and not their own understanding. I like what Ketchum said. God is too good to be unkind and too wise to make any mistakes. God's going to work everything together for good in your life. But sometimes he calls upon us to do a sacrifice, and it seems impossible. And it is in our own strength. But I remember going through a hard time in my life, and I remember what Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm saying you can personally know God's will for your life, but you've got to let God choose the way. Number two, second and last, you've got to let God confirm it. You've got to let God confirm his will for your life. And you say, well, Pastor, how can it be confirmed in my life? He will confirm it through Scripture. He will confirm it through Scripture. God will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. He will never lead you. If you have something on the door that's opening the door and saying, go in it, check out who's hand is on the door. Is it the nail-pierced hand of the Savior or the cloven hoof of the devil? He'll never lead you contrary to Scripture. I know this preacher who was having devotions one time in the morning. He was staying at a motel, and he had devotions. It was all about stealing, and there was a devotional that said, you know, where it says, thou shalt not steal, that we as Christians need to not steal, and we need to be a testimony about that. And so he was reaching up to pack, you know, to leave after doing his devotions. And he reached up for the hanger, and the hanger, his hanger, self-destructed right in his hand. And then he looked up on the pole there, and he saw a lot of hangers in the motel that were perfect hotel hangers. And then he heard the devotional, thou shalt not steal. And he thought to himself, I mean, I'm not really stealing. I'm just kind of borrowing this. They got a lot of good hangers here. It's just a hanger. This is ridiculous. But I feel now bound by my devotional. I can't take that hanger. And he thought, what am I going to do? And he said, I'll call the hotel clerk. He's some clerk that doesn't care about anything, and I'll make it known to him. And he said, hey, he said, I'm up here, and I'm just packing up, and I just broke my hanger. I was wondering if I could just use one of your hangers up here, you know, to hang something up. And he thought, this guy won't care, you know. And he said, I can't give you permission to steal our stuff. What am I saying? God always confirms his will to you with his word if you want to do it. And you know what the problem is with many Christians? They're not in the word of God. They're not having their devotions. They're not in the word of God. I keep pressing this button. My daughter-in-law, Mary, Bo's wife, sent me a thing, push button Bible, and it comes up with a King James verse and a reference. I was pushing it today. I pushed it like three times. Boy, every time I push it, a verse comes up just perfect for my situation. I pushed it again. I'm enjoying that thing. But you know what? I think some Christians, they're spending so much time on Fox News, you know, what's going on in Fox News, that they're not really in their Bible. And so many Christians spend so much time on social media, posting this, posting that, that they're not really in their Bible. You're going to miss the will of God for your life. That's nothing more exciting than that. It's more exciting on anything you're going to see in Facebook and any posting you're going to see. And this sermon tonight, I hope people are here that should be here for this sermon. Because if you miss it, you're going to miss something that I believe is the will of God for your life as a member of Scranton Revival Baptist Church. But let's face it, a lot of people do miss the will of God because they have the big things down, but not the moment-by-moment stuff of our life. And so what I'm saying to you tonight is, firstly, you got to let God choose, and secondly, you've got to let God confirm his will or his way. And he does it, firstly, through the word of God. But secondly, he confirms it through, get this, prayer. He confirms it through prayer. Proverbs 33:3 says, Brother Steve, call upon me and I will answer thee. Isn't that a great thing to know? You call upon me, I will answer thee. And he says, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You call upon God and he says, I'll answer you and I'll show you my will for your life. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. But you got to call upon him for it. You got to ask him for it. The rule of the kingdom, Spurgeon said, ask. Ask. Ye have not, James says, because ye what? Ask not. And we get so busy with the things that we get busy with that we don't take time to let God impress upon us what he wants to say to us. You know, even when you pray, you can just rush into prayer and ask him for all these things. How about letting God speak to your heart as you pray and help you to pray and not get so busy that you don't do that? You know, the Bible says in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus said, it says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Like my wife said, wouldn't it be really great if there really was a God? If he really listened when you were praying? If he really answered your prayers? Well, listen, Jesus said, have faith in God. Mark 11, 22. Not in your ability, not in your talents. Have faith in God. But then, I want to give you verse 23 of Mark 11. Let me give you that. It says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You know what? We've got mountains to move, don't we? We've got big things to deal with. God says, when you have mountains to move, talk to me. Ask me. What was the last time you asked God and said, show me, God, your will? Well, then ask for it. But be prepared when he shows you to do whatever it is that he shows you. But have faith in God that when you ask him, he will show you. He'll confirm it through his word, and he'll confirm it through answered prayer in your life. It says in James 1, you use this one all the time, Joe. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith that God will answer you. You're talking to God, man. Don't you think he'll answer you? Don't you think he'll show you his will? And it's not just knowledge now, but wisdom. There are a lot of educated idiots, if you will. You know, they have a master's degree, but they call me up about the most simple things. God can show you his will. God can show you his will. I remember Wendell Kempton, great man of God, Wendell Kempton. And he went to Charlie Ware's state. And he went to Charlie Ware's house or wherever he was. And he wanted to recruit him to go to Baptist Bible College. But Charlie Ware had just been saved. And he had made a decision. I am going to be an oceanographer. And I'm going to go to college for oceanography. And I'm going to go where my best friend's going to college. And that's where I'm going to go to college to study oceanography. Well, they didn't have that at Baptist Bible. And so Wendell Kempton, Charlie said, I've already prayed about this. I believe I'm going to be an oceanographer, and I'm going to go to this particular college where my friend Leonard goes and be an oceanographer. And Wendell Kempton said to Charlie Ware, he said, well, Charlie, he said, can you at least do this for me? Can you take one day and pray 5 minutes for 2 weeks once a day? And Charlie goes, well, that shouldn't hurt. I can do that. 5 minutes, once a day for 14 days. And he started praying. He said, God, you know, I plan to be an oceanographer, but if you want to confirm I'm doing this wrong, I should go to Baptist Bible, show me. And Charlie has a whole testimony on that. He was at work and something fell off a pallet and hit his thumb, and it was God showing him, yeah, you're wrong, Charlie. You don't go there. I'll take care of Leonard and your friend. You go to Baptist Bible. And he went there. And the rest is history in his life. I'm saying to you, God will confirm his will for your life through the scripture. God will confirm his will for your life, secondly, through prayer. And he will help you and answer your prayer. And then we just said it, God will confirm through wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, but you have to ask for that wisdom in faith. Wisdom is the ability to apply what knowledge is in the Bible to your life and to what God wants you to do. God said, I will give you wisdom. I'm thinking of Stephen Alfer, the guy I just mentioned to you. He was a great English preacher and had a great work. But they said, you feel like God showed you to go to America? Listen, you got too much of an English brogue. You've got an English style. You would not do well in New York City. You're not going to do great things there. Well, can I say something to you? It's not what we do. It's what God does through us. It's not our strength. It's God. And he said, well, God showed me I'm going to go to New York City. And he didn't go by what all those people said. He did what God led him to do, and he had the greatest gospel outreach of anyone in New York City. What does it say here? Do not lean to your own understanding. Can you personally know God's will? Yes, if you let God choose for you, not just in great things, but in small things. And secondly, if you let God confirm his will to you through the scripture, through prayer, and through wisdom. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Every head bowed, please, and every eye closed.